Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I thank God he's alive and well. And he has no problems. He has no difficulties. He never gets depressed. And he has all power in heaven and earth. And the world is moving towards that time when Christ will take over. But we're looking at coming Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And that's why we have service on Sunday, because it was early on Sunday morning that Jesus bodily rose from the dead. And we find this in John chapter 20, and I'm going to talk about this chapter recorded by Jesus' closest friend, whose name was John, and he tells the details of what happened on that early Sunday morning. You know, in the heart of the city of Jerusalem, which we hear about in the news, there is a place called Talpioth. And I actually talked to an individual who lived above this spot, and they found in a cave in that area, or in a enclosed area, they found a section that had been closed before 50 AD, that is within about 17 years from the time Jesus had risen from the dead. And on the walls of this place, it expressed these people's knowledge that Jesus was going to raise their loved ones from the dead. They had been people that actually saw him when he was on the earth. And of course, a couple hundred thousand people had seen Jesus when he was in Israel, and they saw his supernatural miracles that he had done. In fact, at his trials, we've said many times, nobody questioned that he did the miracles, even his worst enemies. Nobody questioned that he raised people from the dead instantly, opened blind eyes, instantly healed them of the horrible disease of leprosy, and Jesus demonstrated that he was Almighty God. Jesus had said for a number of times that he was going to bodily die and then bodily rise from the dead. And so he went up to Jerusalem where his enemies were, so that they could see him die and know that he really died, and they could know the place where he was buried, and then he would rise from the dead. And he didn't say he'd rise spiritually in an indefinite time, in a different place, in a spiritual body, but he would physically and bodily rise from the dead on the third day. So they, of course, sent the soldiers down there to guard this tomb to make sure the body wasn't stolen. And so the soldiers were there, and of course, when the angels showed up, why, they were scared out of their wits and took off and ran like a group of bunny rabbits. But early that morning, after the soldiers had left, Mary Magdalene came out to the tomb to see the place where Jesus' body had been put. And it's a real place. Actually, I went into the tomb myself and saw this stone enclosure where they had put him. And she went out to the tomb, and there she was the first one to see the resurrected Christ. And I am going to give you some of the meaning for us today of the resurrection of Christ. Now, the first thing that I see here is that it honors women. And this is unusual. Back at that time, why, the sect of the Pharisees, they used to thank God every day that they weren't born a woman. And there's other religious groups that put women down, but Jesus, when he was born of a woman. At the cross, there were women, and at his resurrection, he first appears to a woman. And God had these things planned. He knew what he was doing, and he did it for a reason. So he honors women. And in the Bible says that a man should love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so this is a new aspect, a new way to treat ladies. And so Jesus honored them. Now, the second thing we see that Mary goes out to the tomb, and she She calls after she sees the tomb is empty. She comes back and talks to Peter and John, who wrote this account. And so they go out there, and John gets there first, but he doesn't go in to the tomb. And then Peter gets there, and he goes inside, and he sees the clothes and the napkin there. And then John goes in. And then they go back home, but they don't see Jesus. And Mary goes back to the tomb, or she stays there. And so she is there, and she's weeping, and she is crying. And during that time, there's a scripture verse that reads like this, and it says in verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he might rise again from the dead." They didn't know it. And the resurrection of Jesus was predicted in the future, in the past. And you see, if you go to a foreign country, you need to have a passport, and it has where you were born, where you lived, your job has a picture of you, and so on. Well, when Jesus came, he had a passport. It was made up of 29 books of the Old Testament, and it told every detail of his life, including the time he was going to come. And it mentions that Jesus, when he would die, that he would actually rise from the dead. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, David, who was king of Israel, but he was a prophet of God, wrote this 3,000 years before Christ came. And he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." So he said Jesus' body would not corrupt, and he would rise from the dead. And so Jesus fulfilled prophecy. Isaiah 53 talks about him dying on the cross, written by a prophet who came over 300 years before Jesus Christ was born. In fact, it was 700 years. And he talks about Jesus' death for our sins, and then he says that he would rise from the dead. It says he would see his seed, and he would be satisfied. Now, thirdly, the resurrection of Christ gives us hope. And Mary is out there, and she is at the tomb weeping because she doesn't know where Jesus went. And you know, people without the Lord that don't know God, they don't know where people go when they die. And it is one of the most horrible experiences that man knows, because the people that they love suddenly are gone, and their bodies are put in the ground. And so it is a time of great sorrow. And Mary didn't know where the body of Jesus was, because he had risen, but she didn't know that yet. And she was weeping and she was crying. And then there is two men that showed up. The Bible says they were angels, and they said, "Why do you weep?" And that's a good question. Do you know, as Christians, when we know God, we know the Lord Jesus Christ at a funeral, we don't have to be full of sorrow. My parents, they died very old, and I used to wonder, how will I feel when it happens? And I remember when my mother had died, and I went to the funeral. And I'm not saying I had a great religious experience there, but I am saying this, that I was thinking about the fact that God says when a person's put their faith in Christ, that they are actually in heaven. They go immediately to heaven before the undertaker gets there. They're in heaven. And my mother was very sick for a long time, and I was thinking, well, she is in such a wonderful state. It's everlasting joy, everlasting peace, everlasting happiness. She is more alive than she has ever been. She would not even want to come back. And so if Jesus is risen from the dead, then our heart, we have a certain sorrow that our loved ones are gone, but we don't have to have the horrible nightmare, that type of sorrow the people that don't know God have when their loved ones are gone, because we know that they're in good shape and we will see them again. And then another thing we see is the resurrection of Christ shows us that God cares for us. And so after Mary is still weeping, and she is there, and then she hears a voice. And in verse 15 of our chapter, it says this, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And now Jesus, the resurrected Christ, he had promised that he would bodily go into the tomb and bodily rise from the dead the third day. He speaks to her, and he speaks to her by name, and he calls her Mary. Do you know that in our society, we're recognized by our numbers many times? You know, they ask his social security number, and they ask the date that we were born and so on. And most people have very few people that are close friends. But the God of this universe knows every one of us. Jesus says he knows the number of hairs on our head because he knows everything. And he called Mary by name. He knew her name. And the Bible says he cares. And Jesus knows your name. And one day he's going to call your name. Won't that be a wonderful time? When Jesus calls your name, and so he knows her name, he cares, he is personally interested in every person. And so the resurrection of Christ shows that God cares. And then the resurrection of Christ gives us proof of forgiveness. In verse 17 of this chapter, it says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now, the Jewish people celebrate what is called Yom Kippur, and that is the great day of atonement. And that day they fast and they mourn. But on that day in the ancient Israel, the Jewish high priest would go to the temple in Jerusalem. The leaders of Israel would put their hands on a goat. And then the high priest would slit the goat's throat, and the blood would go into a basin. And he would take that basin into what is called the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest went into that place once a year. And he would take that blood and sprinkle it on what is called the mercy seat, where God would have mercy on the nation of Israel. And he would do this every single year. And when the high priest would come out of the Holy of Holies, it would mean that the sins of Israel had been covered for another year, never taken away but covered. The word atonement means to cover. And it was a picture of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And he told Mary not to touch him that day because he had not gone into heaven. And right after he had talked to her, he went past the solar system and past the Milky Way, and he went into the very heaven, where God is, God the Father is, and he walked in, and I can just imagine the angels singing, if they sang it back there, the Hallelujah chorus, and all of heaven bowing before him. And he walked up, and the Bible says, by his blood he entered the holy place, and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And it was a picture of the fact that our sins have been paid for. And when a person puts their faith in Christ, their sins have been paid for, and they will go to heaven without any record that they have ever sinned. And anyone that puts their faith in Jesus and accepts him has eternal life. And Jesus himself said that they shall not come into condemnation, but are passed from death unto life. So the resurrection of Christ gives us forgiveness of sins, and it proves that our sins are forgiven. Why? Jesus paid for our sins, and his blood takes away our sins. And then the resurrection of Christ also gives us information about a new body that we will get. Now, this body we have, as we get older, many times it tends to decay, and we get, the eyesight starts failing, and the ears don't work right, and we don't hear as well, and the different parts of the body have aches and pains. But when Jesus came out of that tomb, he came out with a supernatural body. It doesn't have blood in it. The Bible says blood, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Jesus said it will be a body of flesh and bones. And Jesus, in his resurrected body, they could touch him. They could feel him. But at the same time, he could go right through a door, right through a wall. You say, how is that? Well, we don't understand a lot of things. We don't understand really how electricity works. We know something about it and many things, but the God that created us can do anything. And so God has promised us, he said, he has predestinated us to conform to the image of his dear Son. And that simply means he has chosen to give every one of us a supernatural body that will never wear out. We sing a song sometimes, never grow old. And we will be given a body like Jesus Christ that will be a supernatural body. Anywhere we think we want to be, we can be. And this body is a prison and is full of pain, but This is not just beautiful words, but when Jesus bodily rose from the dead, he proved that we will get a body like this too. And, you know, when he rose from the dead, his disciples saw him, and he showed himself alive over 40 days. And at one time, 500 people saw him at one time, and people saw him over and over again for 40 days after he bodily rose from the dead. And so it shows us the type of body that we will have. And then the resurrection of Christ brings peace with God. And you know, people are angry with God because they have sinned, and God is angry also with man because of his sin. But when Jesus came, he paid for sin on the cross, and he took our punishment on him. And so we can be reconciled to God. We can be brought back together with the Lord and look at God as a friend, because Jesus has paid for our sins and we'll meet God. The Bible says he's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We'll all meet God with joy, every Christian that has trusted in Christ. We're going to take just a short break, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
We're talking about what the Bible says about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection of Christ also brings us the Holy Ghost, and he has given to us, and this is found in verse 22 of John 20. We're reading out of this chapter today. It says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, once again, we don't know all the details of this, but the very Spirit of God comes in us when we receive Jesus Christ. And people say, well, if I become a Christian, I can't live it. I always tell them, yes, you can't live it, but God will live it in you. And you'll be a new creature in Christ. You'll be born again, and your sins will be taken away, and you'll be forgiven, and you'll have a new desire in your life, because the Spirit of God actually comes in you, and you become a new creature. And I tell people sometimes when they accept Christ, people call him a hypocrite. That's their name, because they don't even understand what makes them tick. And they think they can only figure it out that they're putting on a show. But God comes in, and a person has the desire and the ability to live for God. And God gives them the control over their sinful nature. And so we're given that. But the Holy Ghost is also given as a witness to Christ. When you talk to people about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit says that's true in their heart. And so God makes you effective as a witness. And for the power of the Holy Spirit to be on you, you just tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So then the resurrection of Christ brings remission of sins. In verse 23, it says, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And that is, when you tell people about Christ, their sins are forgiven and remitted. Now, what's he mean by a remittance? Well, when you go in a supermarket and you buy some stuff and you pay for it, then you are given a little piece of paper, and that is a remittance. That shows that you have paid for it, and it's in black and white. When you trust in Jesus Christ and you accept him, you are on a piece of paper, and that is the Holy Bible. It says your sins are forgiven, and therefore you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. God wants everybody to know it, that they're saved and that they're going to heaven. So the resurrection of Christ brings that. Then the resurrection of Christ brings salvation. How do you contact God if you want to know God? And it says it right here in this chapter. Thomas goes, Jesus meets him one week, and the disciples, Thomas wasn't there, and they told him, "We've seen Jesus." And he says, "Unless I see the nail prints in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I won't believe." And so next time he comes to the meeting on Sunday, and when he comes, Jesus once again shows up. And Jesus says this to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Well, this is salvation. This is what takes you to heaven. When you say to Jesus Christ, my Lord, it's not good enough that it's your father's Lord or your mother's Lord or your child's Lord or somebody else. When you say, my Lord, it's like God has said, I do to everybody. I do want to take you to heaven. When you say, I do to Jesus Christ, you go to heaven and your sins are forgiven. So Thomas says to Jesus personally, and you say to Jesus in a simple prayer, my Lord and my God. Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible teaches this all the way through. He receives worship, and over, there's scripture verses that say this. And Jesus says, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. You see, all God's blessings are on you when you receive Jesus as your Lord and God. Jesus paid for your sin, and so the punishment for sin has been paid for, and you can go to heaven, and you can rejoice in this life because it's paid for. If you sin even then, you confess it to the Lord, but the sin has been paid for, and it brings you the blessings. It brings you the blessing of a mansion in heaven. It brings you the blessing of a brand new body. It brings you the blessing of everlasting peace and joy in your heart. It brings you the blessing of seeing God. It gives you every single blessing that God has, and you will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You'll be part of God's family, and he'll treat you as a member of his family. And then the resurrection of Christ brings us a life with God in verse 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. When somebody dies, life is cut off with them. But when you believe in Christ, God puts his life in you, and you have a life with God. And there's a song that goes, hand in hand, we walk each day, hand in hand, a long life's way. Walking thus, I cannot stray, hand in hand with Jesus. When the stars are backward rolled in his face, I shall behold. I shall walk on streets of gold, hand in hand with Jesus. And so you can walk with God in this life. And the moment you die, you'll be with God forever in heaven by receiving Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.